life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.
Thanks for listening. Brian Smith and Anthony Askew here on episode 62 of Dynamite in the Brain, the podcast that loves anime and hates fun. It is October the 6th, 2012, and joining us today is Niall Flanagan.
Hello.
Hello, Niall. Grace Chan was also supposed to be joining us, but she is somewhere in the Korean countryside, 3 hours late on bus ride.
Lucky her. To be stuck somewhere lovely, anyway.
Well, it's a bus ride home. I don't know whether that is lovely. Anyway, we're going to do one of our silly filler episodes today where we're going to talk about the top-hard men and women of anime. This was...
It's not silly, Brian.
Well, okay.
Very serious.
Serious business, this. Come on.
Yes, all my choices are very serious. Completely above the board and spot on in there. But first of all, let's do our regular features, our UK anime releases for this week. Ah, Series 2 of Rosario and Vampire. Or is it Rosario plus Vampire? I'm not entirely sure how you go about pronouncing that.
Rosario plus Vampire equals I don't care.
That is just the same here. That is the maths. Yes, it's about a boy who accidentally gets enrolled in a school for monsters.
Wasn't Series 2 out last month?
No, Series 1.
I didn't care then. Not going to care now.
It'd be odd if they released in Series 2 twice. Shiki Part 1, which is a story about vampires, I believe. I think ran at the same time as Tatami Galaxy, I think. If my dates are right. I've not seen any of it, so I don't know what it's like.
Well, this kind of run up to Halloween, got to get either vampire anime out early.
Yeah, it's true. Yes, that is true. And then finally, you've also got The World God Only Knows, which is a show about a guy who's excellent at playing dating video games, and he's forced by a demon to capture lost souls which are hiding in girls' hearts by seducing them.
Now that sounds good. Sounds better than vampires, anyway. I'm going to check it out.
Are you? Well, yeah. It's out on DVD, so I don't know how much it is. I imagine it's like a 13-episode thing. Because apart from Dragon Ball, they tend to release stuff in 13-episode chunks. The World God Only Knows. DVD. From Tesco's...
On Amazon, it's 17 quid.
Okay, there you go.
Not
I
don't bad, know
what
no?
that includes, what doesn't include. 325 minutes. Apparently. So
Anime series was 12 episodes plus one preview OVA. Oh, there's a second series as well, though, so...
There we go.
Well, I'm not interested, so...
Let's. I'm probably not, really.
No. Just feigning interest.
Yeah.
Once you saw it was 17 quid, your interest went
just
down.
Dropped. Yeah, if it was 7... Chances were slim, but you never know.
Well, can I give it add value?
It may show up on Netflix. You never know. Lots of stuff does nowadays.
True.
Right, on to our second feature, which is what you watch. Niall, what you watch? What you watch?
What I watch? Watch I watch? just yesterday, it was showing in the Lighthouse Cinema in Dublin. I saw the Tiger and Bunny movie.
Yay! We could tag this twice with Tiger and Buddy. People will download it more and more because our first Tiger and Buddy episode 30, is I think it's the most downloaded episode of our podcast by about
ridiculous.
Twice as many as the next episode.
Wow.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. So really we should run a Tiger and Buddy podcast.
Yeah, just dedicated each week.
It could be done, maybe, or maybe like every third episode will be about Tiger and Money.
Just repeat it, re-release it, so we don't even have to do anything new. Just re-release it. People love it.
If you, I did Blade Runner, when we released it, it was cut, and this one with the narration, this one without the narration.
So what do you think?
That's what they did with the first Tiger and Money movie. They just re-released it.
That's true.
Did they?
Well, so what do you think, Niall?
I haven't watched a TV series in probably since the first time I actually watched, went through it, like, was it 2 years? 2 years ago now? I don't know how old it is. I've lost track of it. It seems like such a long time ago.
A year and a half, I think.
Yeah. And it's kind of nice to see, like, the old stuff kind of reanimated, or kind of, well, I think it was mostly reanimated anyway. And, you know, it's a good reminder of, you know, what I enjoyed about the series. And also, like, halfway through, it just turns into, like, the typical anime once-off film, but it just have an adventure, it's non-canon. So they're kind of trying to have it both ways here.
Well, yeah, I think it sort of fits in between episode 2 and 3, because it gives you, like, a little bit of extra setup for Lunatic, because there's a conversation he has with...
With Barnaby.
With Barnaby. And then the outcome of what happens in the movie seems to be the impetus for him deciding to put his own costume on and go about it a different way.
Yeah, I stuck around while the credits were playing, and then there was a bunch of, like, unused footage in there, and then it kind of, like I said, they kind of showed the bits where he's putting on the costume and, you know, getting the old blue fire out.
Did you get the trailer for the next one?
No, I didn't at all there, no.
Because apparently they didn't get it in the Scotland Loves Anime showing either. So.
Sure. They can try that down online somewhere, or whatever.
Yeah, I wonder whether they switched it off before they realizing there was an extra bit at the end. Because when I was at Leeds Film Festival last, so that was 2 years ago, they showed EVA 2.0, and they were about to switch off before the post-credits sequence happened, and the people in the audience were going, no, as the lights were going up, no, put the lights back down, there's more film.
Oh, jeez, almost started a riot in that place. Yeah, I did like the Philomone character, because, you know, usually when you get these things, that there'll always be, like, the character to bring in will be like, no, he's the strongest of all, even stronger than anybody they face in the regular series, and, you know, it's just kind of breaking all the rules and forgetting about them. But this is a guy here, like, his power was just kind of unique and made him very hard to catch. So, and they had to, like, use their wits to try to catch him out instead. I prefer that kind of thing, you know, you gotta, like, use the previously established world rules to deal with this new villain.
Yeah, I liked him a lot. He's Kappa Yamaguchi. I can have Yamaguchi, the guy who plays Usopp in One Piece.
Yeah, this dude is basically roller skate Lupin.
Yes.
No, I definitely want to see it.
Well, you might love him or hate him, you know. He's an absolute jerk, but I like him. He's just, like, constantly getting the better of these guys who can control the elements or super strength and things.
I was watching it, I was like, yeah, Kappa Yamaguchi. I just would, after it, I was thinking he must sit at home wondering when they're going to recast Lupin. It's like,
yeah,
they've recast all two of the other characters. When are they going to recast Lupin?
He was absolutely, like, when channeling a bit of Lupin in there.
Yeah, so, and just the sort of the characters he gets cast in, it just seems to make me think that when eventually they do get around to it, they're probably plump for him. So Anthony, what did you watch?
I finally watched Wes Anderson's Moonrise Kingdom.
Oh, nice.
Finally. And I loved it. I love Wes Anderson. I love this. I just really want to rewatch it very soon because it's that kind of film.
So was that at the cinema, or was it out on DVD or something?
Neither of those.
It's in the cinema during the summer.
Yeah, it's my own private cinema.
Right,
that's where it was. And no, I was pleased to finally see it because it felt like everyone else had seen it but me, which wasn't the case because it was very hard to find.
It's out on DVD tomorrow.
Is it really?
Yes.
Oh,
just waited.
I could have waited, but bloody hell. But yeah, I loved it. I love Wes Anderson. I don't know what, it's not his best. I don't know what is.
What,
but,
I was going to say, what is your favourite?
I like Life. Oh, Rushmore. I've had this debate before.
I like the Royal Tenenbaums the best. But
I would say I'm between Life Aquatic and that Mitch Fox myself.
It's always an unsung hero. I like that one as well. But yeah, I kind of, they're all awesome. He hasn't made a bad film. And yeah, I also started watching the new series of Parks and Recreation.
So did I. That was going to be my watchy watch as well.
Ah, see?
I watched the first episode, but not the second.
Yeah, that's all I've seen as well.
I'm so behind on that thing. I watched like half of the first episode. Like ages
half
ago.
Of the first episode, not even the full. Oh God.
The internet cut out like halfway through, and we couldn't get it to load again, so we just gave up.
Oh.
But yeah, it's, the theme seems to be sort of characters suddenly finding themselves out of their depth a bit, from the first episode at least.
Mm.
So I don't know whether they're going to run with that through.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with it because I like it.
Yes, I like it a lot as well. I just find most of the characters they're doing really nice, apart from to Jerry. That's
everyone knows a Jerry.
Right, let's move on to our topic then, which is our top five each hard men and women from anime.
Grr.
So we're all going to pick five. And but Grace wanted us to talk about what does hard mean to you.
Are we making this explicit already?
Uh-oh.
I do suspect that may have been where she wanted to go with the joke. But yeah, I mean, the sort of the characters I picked was characters who were sort of stoic, unapologetic, violent and cold-blooded. Though there is now one exception. But yeah, because obviously when you talk about hard men, it often gets talked about, at least in the UK, you were talking about hard men of sports, hard men of football.
Or Ross Kemp.
Yeah, or people with a certain degree of criminality to them. As well.
Vinnie Jones or something
crap. Yes.
They're fake hard men. Terrible.
So what were your criteria for picking your hard men of anime? Anthony Kyle.
I kind of went with a hard person.
You've gone silent, Niall. I can't hear you.
Ordeals and just keep coming back for more and just not giving up until they've achieved their aims.
Did you get all that, Anthony?
I didn't. He cut off up then. I heard
did it cut out?
It did cut out, yes.
Oh, right. I'll try that again.
Yeah.
Okay, I kind of picked mine based at like a tough character, like a really hard-ass person is someone who can endure immense physical and often mental ordeals and just come back for more and just not give up until they've achieved their aims.
Yeah, I've got one a bit like that on my list, but not necessarily the other ones. Anthony, what was your criteria?
Oh, my criteria, far more basic. If somebody could kick someone else's ass, basically, someone who's done something epic, that I don't know, they've had something bad happen to them, just badass, not so much hard, just badass, just like, oh, you know, if I was to like create this like ridiculous fan fiction, I would have like every character fit this criteria. No love interest, nothing like that, just bang, fighting, blood.
So basically you want to re-grapple a backy.
I probably should. I like that kind of thing. Just all out badassery.
Right, so let's get started. Niall, you can go first as being the guest. Who's first on your list of hard men?
I changed this at the very last minute because it came to me in a dream last night. And my first guy would be Bean Bandit from Gunsmith Cats and Riding Bean OAB.
Good choice, actually.
So tell people a bit about Bean Bandit.
Bean Bandit is like he's a driver. He's like a car for hire. And he's known in the underworld for being practically invincible. That's probably because he goes around wearing like I think it's a combination steel and Kevlar lined like leather jacket. Actually, all his clothing has been armored with Kevlar or ceramic plates in some way, including his headband.
Does he get called Mr. Bean?
I'm not sure, actually. No, I should like go. I have all the manga now. I should actually look through and see if anybody does call him that. but even without all that armor and vulnerability, he's immensely strong, and he's so strong you can like tear off a car door with one hand, or indeed fling a throw knife through a car windshield or through a car door.
Awesome.
And of course, sure. He has what is a signature facial feature of Hard Men.
Oh yeah,
giant chin,
and also a badass facial scar.
That is true.
Yeah, but scars, think, big features. Yeah,
yeah, giant chins is it's got the Judge Dredd. Judge Dredd would not work if he had a tiny chin.
Judge Dredd,
Desperate Dan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it'd be easier to pick, it would be easier to pick the Hard Men of British comics than it is to pick Hard Men of anime. But yeah, definitely. Desperate Dan, Judge Dredd would be right there at the top. Okay, Anthony, who's first on your list?
I revisioned my list. It didn't come in a dream. It just came to us before because I needed a woman in it, and it's very difficult. Like, there's some good women out there in anime, but it's difficult. I went through loads of different... Then I ended up with Faye Valentine from Cowboy Bebop. She's pretty hard. Sexy, seductive. And anyone who'd be willing to walk the streets in that outfit must be pretty tough. So
tell people who don't know Cowboy Bebop.
Oh, my God.
A little about Faye.
Well, Faye Valentine, she's a bounty hunter. And, yeah, that's pretty much what Cowboy Bebop is about. Different... random episodes that build up to not a lot, really. Thinking about it, Cowboy Bebop. But yeah, great show. And Faye Valentine's this like sexy mistress. This, she can get men to do whatever she wants, and that's a good trait. I would like that trait. Maybe not with men, but swept over.
Right here, okay. First on my list is a guy who sort of breaks my original description. He's short. He hasn't got a big chin. He's yellow. He's furry, he's got two big ears, and he can shoot lightning. It's Pikachu from the Pokemon. Because he fights things far bigger than he is, frequently, gets beaten up repeatedly, bloodied, battered, bruised, comes back fighting time and time again. He's constantly being kidnapped, escapes, rescues other people who are being kidnapped.
He should just be top of everyone's list.
Yeah, I think in terms of anime, in the last decade and a half, he's probably the character who's been in the most fights. I would say. And he's still going. Doesn't ever feel the need to evolve either. He's perfectly happy staying. He realises he's tough enough as a Pikachu, doesn't need to become a Raichu.
Is he level 99?
I would imagine so.
Max level.
Yeah. Yes. I'll be level 138.
And he frequently beats things he shouldn't be able to beat anyway, based on what element he is. That's how tough he is.
Yeah, I know. Well, like, the kind of one of the first big classics he goes into, he beats like a big rock snake using lightning. That's supposed to work.
Doesn't work. No. Was not effective.
Now, I will say, for a brief while last night after we recorded the Ghost in the Shell episode, this was going to be the Squirtle Squad here, but they just seem more dicks than Hard Men. Going back and checking what they used to do, they're just delinquents. They're not Hard Men.
Bunch of Asbore kids there.
Oh, the Squirrel Squad.
Okay, right, who's next on your list, Niall?
I went with Sakiyama Kaori from Air Master.
She was almost on my list.
Yeah, people will tend to go for Maki because she's the main character and she gets in a bunch of fights and gets kicked around a bit as well. But I'm always a sucker for an underdog. Like, like, she just becomes obsessed with her rivalry with Maki in the series, and she gets beaten off nearly every time, but she gets better and better. Now, in all her scraps, she does a little better. Usually loses, but she gets closer every time. She doesn't know karate, she knows crazy.
And she does eventually develop a technique, a pressure point technique, doesn't she, if I remember correctly. Okay. And she wanted to be a supermodel to begin with. The characters just run into her in the first episode and annoy her so much that she decides to give up her dreams of becoming a supermodel and become a street fighter instead.
I'm going to kill those annoying girls I met.
I'll do my next on my list, seeing as it ties into that before we go to Anthony, which mine would be Maki from Air Master.
Oh, yeah.
Who is, she's sort of she was a gymnast originally until she got too big to be a gymnast. And so she used those skills as a gymnast to become a street fighter instead. And she sort of only feels alive when she's beating people up in the street using her air master techniques, which normally involves sort of bouncing off things, kicking somebody into the air, and then putting them in a grappling mood and driving their face into the concrete. But the good thing about Maki and Sakiyama Kaori is the thing I really like about the show is they kind of give them that, because in a lot of fighting manga and anime where it's all male characters, there's sort of this suggested homoeroticism between the male characters. And they kind of do the same thing with Sakiyama Kaori and Maki, in the way you do it with a male character rather than you tend to see it done with female characters. Because they're clearly... Well, Sakiyama Kaori sort of has this love-hate relationship with Maki. And you get strange scenes at the end when she just wants her to punch her. I think that's the very last thing she wants her to do at the very end of the show.
Yeah, you're getting those like creepy grins. You know, just make me feel alive.
And my favourite arc with them is when they have to become a tag team in professional wrestling.
Yeah, the wrestling.
With their ridiculous... their gimmick is that they're waitresses, but Maki doesn't want anyone to know that she's doing this professional wrestling, so she's a masked waitress.
I'll watch the series again right now.
I've seen a bit in AMVs. I never really... It looked pretty good, but...
Well, there's two characters who people don't like, which is what puts people off.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
Which is Renge, who I think is one of my favourite characters ever.
I want to reach through those down the internet lines and throttle you right now.
She's great. Imagine like a character who'd be at the Beano or the Dandy, but in some sort of fighting anime. And who's the other girl? Mina. The one who's got the lesbian crush on Maki and has ridiculously large breasts.
Tits McGee.
Tits McGee.
There's loads of weirdos in it, though. Not just those two, but like the super creep Juliet Sakamoto. And there's the guy who's developed extremely long arms from pushing people away from the guy he fancies.
Who was that guy again? I just bump a bunch of names here.
They're like part of a gang, aren't they? From a different area.
They're all like numbered rankings, aren't they?
Yeah, and someone gets turned into a cyborg later on by an extremely short note. It's a very strange show. There's lots of stuff which I understand why people can't get into it, but I like it a lot. There's lots of really good fighting.
Yeah, I always loved the guy who fought guys with a bicycle.
Yes.
In what way?
Hits people with a bicycle.
Oh. No, he just cycled towards him really, really fast. He'd go you go up in the front wheel, so the back wheels race, and spin it around, slap him in the face of the rear wheel, for instance.
And drive off.
Yeah, there's lots of people with weird fighting techniques like that. Okay, Anthony, what's yours?
After our last week's episode, my number four is Bato from Ghost in the Shell. As a whole, not just standalone complex, because he's pretty badass and everything. This guy is a beast. He's got enhanced everything. Eyes, as we've mentioned. He's got he's strong, he can run fast, he's ex-military. So he can probably F someone right up. And, he gets limbs torn off and stuff. That's a big factor of my list. If someone's ever lost a limb, they're instantly a hard man. Or woman.
He's a cyborg, though, so it's probably okay. He can just kind of
it's still.
Yeah, I was going to say it's cheating. Cheating you live like that.
Hard men are allowed to cheat, do whatever they like.
I've got someone else on my list who lost an arm.
See, it's a good trick.
It wasn't a cyborg arm, it was a real arm.
Oh, some of mine are real arms getting blown off. Yeah, Bato is a beast.
Yeah, if you want to learn more about Bato, check out last week's episode.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Niall, who's next on your list?
Had to get somebody from the series in here, so I went with Jotaro Kujo from Jojo's Bizarre Adventure.
Now, I'm only sort of peripherally aware of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. So which one is he?
Okay, this would be like in the third arc when they introduce stand powers into it.
Yeah,
and he'd be like the, let's see now, he'd be like the great great grandson of the first guy, and then he's the grandson of the second guy.
Yeah, he's the guy whose hat turns into his hair. Is that?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
His hat turns into his hair.
Yeah, he's kind of the guy. He's one of the kind of like just the school delinquents. You know, he's the long trench coat and like the cap, and the cap is kind of you're not sure where the hat ends and the hair begins. It kind of just merges into one.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen him before.
Yeah, he'd be the guy who became one of the main characters in the fighting game that just came out on Xbox Live there.
Mm. New series out soon as well.
Yeah, that's based off of the first arc, you know, based on his great great grandfather and the guy who turns into a vampire and is then comes back from the grave to menace Jotaro Kujo in the third arc. Then
I'm really excited to kind of get into all this because I've not had much chance, to be honest.
Yeah. So. It's really, really good.
what's his power?
Well, like, you know, he's got his stand powers, but it's basically just like a physical manifestation of his psychic powers. And like his guy is just, he's very, very strong and very, very fast. It's kind of like he can summon a psychic ghost Kenshiro who can fight for him. Because it's just the same, you know, but he goes like,
I'm won over. I want it right now. I want to watch this.
I like him because he actually kind of falls into Brian's criteria. He's very, very stoic, and you know, he's a dude who can keep cool under pressure, even when he's about to drown underwater when he's fighting some kind of aquatic enemy.
I love the whole hat hair thing. I'm looking at pictures of him now. It looks awesome.
Mm. Oh, it looks less awesome when people try to cosplay it, though, because if people run into a problem, it's like they're having to wear like half a hat.
Besides I like fighting, though, I think he's the coolest is when he's they're like fighting an enemy who his stand power is if he defeats you in a game of chance, he can steal your soul and turn you into like a poker chip. And so I like, you know, he tricks one of the guys and he turns him into a poker chip. So the guy, you know, they can't fight him because then they won't be able to turn him back. So the guy like faces him off and then gains a chance. And so it turns out eventually that Jotaro has to face him down in a game of poker, and like he doesn't even know what he's doing. And like Jojo, do you know how to play poker? He's like, nope. But he wins by psyching the other guy out. And it was one of the episodes in the old OVA, and it's one of the best episodes in the entire series, so I'd recommend hunting that down.
Mm. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the new series coming out. Better be good. It better be good, or else I'll be upset.
Okay, Anthony, who's next on your list?
Let me bring it back up. I have MacGyver. I can't believe he didn't make anyone else's list so far. Oh, no, I haven't. I'm jumping the list. I've skipped the list.
That's all right. Just go
no,
with
I'm
Guyver.
Going back. I can't contact. Nah. Sorry. I'm third in my list. We've got to keep it clinical. Is Guts from Berserk. Oh, the Black Swordsman. This guy is a... I would say a beast, but it doesn't do justice. He ends up in hell. He's fighting demons from hell. He gets his arm bitten off. Not just torn off. He gets it bitten off. And then he gets his eye just clawed out. Oh, he's ridiculous. This guy, like, when I was watching Berserk, I was like, oh, this guy is he's a beast. He's so epic. You've all seen Berserk, right?
Some of it.
Sort of, kind of.
I was expecting a better reaction from Berserk than that. Oh, I love Berserk.
Oh, well, look. I recently read like an article about the manga and kind of the direction it goes eventually, and that got kind of interested.
I've read a bit of the manga. It's a lot better than the series. Stuff gets explained, which the series just drops you in. It's a bit weird, but no, Guts is awesome. He's epic.
Mm.
And if you don't know what Berserk is, don't bother watching it. Just read the manga. You know, it's better. Simple as.
Have you seen the any of those new films? I think there's only one out currently. But...
Soon, at Leeds Film Festival.
Yes, we got tickets to Leeds, and they're showing the first two films.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty hyped. But the thing is, what I've seen of trailers have got, like, CGI and stuff in.
Mm.
And I'm not sure how well that'll work. But we'll see. As long as Guts is going around cutting people's arms off, cutting people's faces off, like he does, cutting people in half. He cuts a horse in half. You know, that kind of stuff is it's worthwhile.
Long before Game of Thrones ever did it.
Exactly. He is, like, everyone in Game of Thrones mixed into one.
I think that's pretty much kind of what they aim, because they're doing this as the trilogy for this just one arc of
Is that what the plan is with the films?
Yeah, so I imagine if that goes well, then they'll do other arcs as additional films.
Well, I'm presuming these ones are just Guts as a kid, or at least leading up to where he gets to.
It's called the Golden Age, I think.
No, that means it's going to be not boring, but...
Yeah, it's not going to get into the...
He's not going to be riding around hell.
Yeah, it's the same territory and being treaded once again, but I wasn't wanting to get it out of the way for anybody who's new to it, and then get to do
fair enough, it's justified, but I would like to see him riding around hell, doing what he does.
And they can take their time, because it's not like the comic is going anywhere particularly fast, so...
True.
Okay, who's next on my list? It is, talking to people who lose their arms, it's Violence Jack!
Oh yeah.
I'm specifically talking about more from the manga than the anime.
Yeah.
He's hard enough in the anime, but I don't think it comes as well across because the OAVs are all produced at different times by different people, not in chronological order. The UK versions are hacked a bit, but even if you see them unhacked, they're still not super great. But I'd say the original run of Violence Jack in the early 70s, the one which was published for kids in a Shonen comic, is really good. That's the top-notch stuff. There's some really great cartooning in there. And he's a real cold-hearted killer. He's sort of like this silent killer who a bunch of kids get to help take care of the gangsters that the Slum King's running. But at the same time, there's a bit where one of the gangsters takes one of the kids hostage and uses her as cover. Mm. So Violence Jack just swings his jackknife and cuts both their heads off.
Mercy killing.
Just uncontrollable killing machine type killing. And there's another in that same strip, there's a bit where he's this mass brawl that he's in, and he's picked up one gangster by his head. That gangster is carrying a sword, and he's swinging the guy by his head to use the sword to cut another guy's arms off.
Self-defense.
And so then later on, it becomes more... So there's another run later in the 70s, which is for adults. And then you start seeing what it's going to turn into, where it's really sort of a mashup of various other Go Nagai strips. So you'll get one arc will be the Cutie Honey arc, one arc will be the Iron Grappler arc, one arc will be the Susa Ono arc, and so on. And Violence Jack's powers vary wildly from arc to arc. Sometimes he seems positively mortal, and other times he dies and then just comes back straight from the dead and can grow into giants, split himself into three. He also qualifies as the on the hard women of of manga, at least, because there is a female version which somebody tries to rape. That was a bad mistake.
Violence Jill.
Where?
Is it called Violence Jill?
I think she's Lady Violence Jack or something like that. I don't think anyone's specifically translated those stories yet. So.
Oh,
she'd have to be called Violence Jill, come on.
But no, she breaks somebody in half with her legs, basically.
Epic.
It's very, in terms of continuity, it's very confusing until right at the end when it does tries to make some sense out of it all.
Yeah. Is that like a Devilman connection, like true, you know, as in like the world that he lives in is after the apocalypse in Devilman?
Yeah, but that's only like the last two arcs that do they make that. I mean, there's hints of it right at the start in that you see Ryo and Maki in the first couple of arcs. Can you hear that honking?
Yes, I can.
Someone's car alarm going off. Or it's the honking from Futurama.
Oh, God.
Just bear with me. I'm going to have to close the window.
Check that it's not your car, Brian. Or you might have to go out and be a hard man.
You might have to.
Violence, Brian.
Violence, Brian.
Right, let's try that. Yeah, so but in the last two arcs, it does make the Devilman connections perfectly clear.
Okay. I hear it's a thing that I hear it's not, and then like, I get confused as to which, because I haven't read it. I'm only familiar with the anime bit of it.
Yeah, they kind of first make it clear in that Chibi Go Nagai OAVs from the early 90s.
Oh, yeah.
Comedy One, that's apparently the first place where they explicitly say that Violence Jack's Devilman. And then... yeah, and then they kind of wrap it up, and then he's done, like, Shin Violence Jack and some other Violence Jack stuff, which, again, isn't any continuity to what's going on. Like, there's Robot... It's another one of these ones where it's like, oh, we're in the past. Oh, it's not the past. They're actually robots type story.
See, I feel sad, like, that I've just never watched or read Violence Jack. I feel like it would be right up my street.
Well, someone's doing some scanlations now, but...
Ah.
They kind of people attempt to every so often, and then they kind of just dry up a bit. Oh. I suspect maybe because they kind of do the good ones at the start, and then they go. The rest of the stuff is a bit variable to the extent where it also looks variable in terms of who's actually drawing it.
Mm.
You don't know how much of it is Go Nagai and how much of it's assistants. Particularly when the styles change. There's one which looks like it's been done, but almost drawn by Geiger in terms of the. Detail on the various sort of alien demon type creatures in it, where it's not at all cartoony like a lot of the other stuff is.
How long did it run for, Violence Jack?
Points. Right. Yeah, it's sort of 70s, two lots of 70s, and then 80s through the 90s, I believe.
Oh, probably. God.
Man.
Yeah, the final run's got loads and loads of volumes of it.
That's a lot of violence.
That is a lot of violence. And he very rarely speaks as well, which is the adds to the stoicness.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Who's next on your list, Niall?
Actually, for a guy who doesn't speak, it kind of segues nicely into this one. Thinking about putting it in the top spot, but I thought I'd put him in second. Now it's, of course, Gogo 13.
Good choice.
Togo himself. Yeah. Although I debate whether he can qualify for this list, because he may in fact be a robot.
He never ages, for a start, that is.
Which, and everyone knows Goku 13. He's the best sniper in the world.
He is, yes. Have you got the first volume of the Viz manga they did?
No, I'm trying to track those down now. I just had to get some money together. I've had bills to pay lately, but they've been on my book list for a little while now.
It has the ridiculous list of physical observations about him. IQ unknown, though it is rumoured to be in the files of the former Soviet KGB. A female KGB operative was documented to remark, I forgot the exact number, but it was quite high. Skilled computer programmer, advanced engineering knowledge of aerospace defence technology, medical expertise on a MD, PhD level, also highly skilled in traditional remedies.
No, did the DC Comics like character profiles or their go-to thing is always like physique comparable to an Olympic athlete.
Yeah, he's got all that stuff over, but never had this in those DC Who's Who's and Marvel official guides. Lures all the women in the world to the height of ecstasy. At any rate, an amazing penis.
Oh, God. I'm blessed.
Oh, man.
But yeah, he is the very definition of stoicism, to the point where often he'll just have a thought balloon, which will be a bunch of ellipses. Yeah. So you can never know what he's thinking.
Women are the sad things.
Well, even when he's in bed with a woman, he's still got that exact stone-faced expression.
Mm, yeah.
Good job.
Deadly without a gun, but put a gun in his hands and he pulls up his most amazing feats, like shooting a satellite out of orbit, or bouncing a bullet off the water so you can hit a target, or shooting a man in the cockpit of a plane while he's on the ground, while the plane's in the air, obviously.
Yeah, and then there's in the Viz collections, there's one of the origin stories, but they frequently do new origin stories for him, so you never know which is the truth. I think that one involves him cutting up his parents and flushing them down the toilet.
No way. Really?
See, I didn't want to know that. You know, it's like seeing how the magic is done.
Something along those lines. I didn't go back, admittedly, but I know it definitely involves chopping somebody in his family up and flushing them down the toilet.
See, that makes Goggle a bit of a bad man.
Oh, he's a bad... He's very,
he's
very...
He's a bad man.
It'll vary from story to story.
But he's not a bad man.
He's a bad man.
I don't like to see him as a bad man.
He'll kill anybody for money.
That's fair enough. That he's just doing his job. Ways to an end, or whatever the phrase
is. He will often kill the person who employed him because they've seen his face and know who he is, so he has to kill them.
That's how it works in that world. We don't have to cut family up. It's like meeting... This is ruined Golgo.
I think they may have actually wanted him to do it as well, though.
Mm.
They were off. Yeah, he's kind of some ridiculous situation which involves this.
I will look into it. It might, you might be able to justify his actions. I don't know how.
Okay, Anthony, who's next on your list?
As spoiled before by my own stupidity, I have not Sho Fukamachi. I have the Gyver. Oh, tell me. Everyone must know how that guy transforms into Gyver. And it is one of the most awesome transformations you could possibly see.
I'll tell you because I've never seen the Gyver.
No. Really?
Yeah, I've told you this before on the podcast.
Have you seen any of the live actions or anything?
No.
I've seen all of those. I've not seen the new series, what they did a couple of years ago, but I've seen live actions I've seen as a kid before I even knew what Gyver was, when it was called... Oh, Neutronics or something? What was it?
Yeah, I think that's right. Neutronics.
And I remember just being blown away as a kid watching that, because this is before I knew what Gyver was or anything. And then someone at school happened to have on his desk, and I'm talking primary school here, a VHS copy of Gyver. And I just instantly like, whoa, so this is something else? And he would never borrow me them ever. Ever, ever, ever. And then I finally bought them on VHS myself, and now I own them on DVD. But yeah, Gyver, he's got like a little laser beam that he can shoot out of his head piece. I don't know what you call it. He's got like elbow blades. He's got a huge chest laser. And he gets his arms ripped off. I think it's a running theme.
They grow back, though. Got better.
Yeah, yeah. True. But Gyver is fantastic. Great show, especially if you're into that kind of daft violence. Actually, it's not that daft, but it's not like, you know, it's not justified as such. But yeah, Gyver's a great show. I love the design of the Gyver units.
It's kind of what happened after somebody who liked Kamen Rider saw Aliens, I think, is basically it, really.
I guess so.
I'm only familiar from it from articles and just general. And of course, John putting one in his werewolf campaign, as I think we mentioned.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, Guy, it was a great show. Check it out.
So there was a couple of live action movies, wasn't there?
There was Dark Hero.
Dark Hero, which was played by David Hayter.
David Hayter, yes. Our very own Solid Snake.
And the scriptwriter for X-Men.
yeah, don't forget that, yeah. But yeah, the live actions, there's something about them that... They're not even that bad. They're pretty good.
No, they're pretty good.
They're not like so bad that they're good. They're just actually quite good. So,
I'd be closer to just in the action choreography and the way everything looks. They'd be closer to kind of the Sentai roots of it.
Yeah, definitely. And it's all pretty epic. So,
because you got a guy in a rubber costume beating up a monster in a rubber costume, you know, and it's
violent as well. Like there's blood. That's, we all like blood. Especially Golgo, apparently, when he cuts up his family members.
Right, okay. Who's next on my list? I shall go with... Akainu from One Piece.
Okay.
Which one's that?
He's one of the admirals. He's the one who looks like...
Has he got a big chin?
He's got the meteor, sort of the magma power.
Yeah.
Sakazuki is his.
Oh, I think I've seen him in one of those Sakuga videos, whatever they're called.
Yeah, and he looks like he's based on specific. All the generals are based on specific actors. He's Bunta Sugawara is who he looks like. And basically, he looks like a big Yakuza guy. He's down to the tats. which is a running theme in One Piece, is that some of the admirals look more like criminals than they do supposed enforcers of the law. But yeah, there's loads of guys in One Piece who I think qualify as tough guys, but not necessarily hard men. So you've got Zoro is a tough guy, but he's also an idiot.
Yeah, he ain't no hard man.
It's like, yes, it's tough. But you're also a guy who thought the best way to escape being trapped in hardened candle wax was to cut your own feet off.
Does that actually happen?
He tries to until they stop him doing it. So he pointed out that he's an idiot. So Whitebeard's pretty tough. He gets his face blown off and he carries on fighting with a huge chunk of his head missing. But I think he's too much of a forgiving father compared. He's like... He loves people too much.
Also, he doesn't have a beard.
True.
How come when I watch One Piece, all this epic stuff doesn't happen? When I watch it, it's bloody boring. it's just them doing crap stuff that... someone tell me when something good happens in One Piece.
You've got to watch all the set. It's every episode.
Nah.
Just read the comic.
Yeah, that'd be better.
And Smoker comes close, but I think he gets put into too many sort of semi-comedic situations where he finds himself trapped with Luffy and has to work with him rather than... But this one's having the Yakuza thing going for him. He is the cold-heartedness...
He's a bad mofo.
He is, yes. And he's the guy... There's two people who've killed significant people in One Piece, and he's one of them. And probably the most significant death he's caused.
Did he kill off a main character?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
And he's got this... And he's also committed genocide, simply because that was what he was told to do. He believes in absolute justice. Does not want to hear about anything else. And he's now the head of the Marines after a fight which destroyed the environment between him and one of the other admirals.
Yeah, the ice dude.
Yes. They actually altered the climate on an island through their fight.
See, there's all these big Yakuza look-alike people, and then when I tune in, they're bloody talking to mermaids and stuff. Yep, that's what I get.
Well, I guess you're just not watching it right.
Yeah,
clearly not.
It's all been kicking off for the past few months.
Has it really?
Arc, yes. It's almost at the end now. They're in the epic Luffy boss fight.
Right, so, I'm just going to whack on episode whatever it is and start watching. I don't care about the story. Not at the moment, anyway.
Because you may end up accidentally whacking on one, which gives it's an entirely somebody's flashback.
Oh, that'd be my luck. Wanting to see someone fight and then getting...
They have dragged out the lead up to the actual fight a very long time. It's like, are they going to fight now? And no, quick cut to see what everyone else is doing. Are they going to fight this episode? No, it's a flashback to why the villain's like he is.
Do you watch it weekly still?
I have been watching it weekly for the past few weeks.
Because of it getting good?
Getting to the end of this arc and sort of heading toward... I'm wondering whether they're going to put a filler in or whether they're going to go straight to the next...
I see.
Arc, which if you think this is boring, you might find the next one's boring. It's confusing, the next arc is, because they're sort of, he's setting a lot of stuff up before it gets going anywhere.
Don't get me wrong, when I first started watching it after the time skip, it was awesome. It's exactly what I wanted from One Piece, and then, as I say, we go to the silly mermaid village or whatever it's called.
If you'd been watching it, you would have been glad to see them finally get there, because they've been trying to get there for about 2 years.
Oh, right. Well, I felt nothing.
Right. So who's the last one on your list, Niall?
Number one. Now, everyone will laugh picking Shiro, but for my money, I always thought Ray was my best guy in Fisted and North Star.
Tell me why.
Okay. Well, for a start, in this world where everyone has styles called like Fisted the Great Bear and Bloody Cross, he goes around with a Southern Waterbird style. So you gotta be a pretty tough dude to be like displaying a stance like that. And also to kick ass with it. But as well as that, I might have to divulge some plot details. Is anybody up under Fisted and All-Star?
I'm so far behind.
I know it through playing the video game, so I know what happens to him. So
just go for it.
Okay. Well, Well, Kenshiro is like far away, and like his Kenshiro's evil blood or Rao is like, you know, this masculine innocence. So Ray just steps in just to fight Rao, knowing he can't win, just to buy Kenshiro some time. But Rao doesn't kill him. Not kill him immediately, anyway. Instead, hits him at a pressure point where he will, like, die. He will just linger in agony for, I think, 3 days, and then all the blood will explode out of his body. And so, no, and there's no way to cure him. Even Toki, Kung Fu Jesus, doesn't know how to fix it. So he spends his remaining time on Earth hunting down the tormentor of the love of his life. Again, lingering on in pain. This guy is running around. He's pulling the whole your princess is in another castle thing, leading him off in a wild goose chase. It's almost out of time. Toki does something to him where he will like double or triple the pain he's already enduring. But he will get to live on for like another half a day, then finds the guy, defeats him, and then just cap it all off. He just goes into an abandoned house, so he just dies out of sight to remember him, like in a good way, not exploding.
So does he die?
He does. He goes out. He goes out like a champ, though.
So. See, I always thought Ray was the bad guy.
No. Ray is the guy
behind I am.
Yeah, well, Ray is the guy. You might know him from the movie version. He's the guy who can just cut people into bits with his fingertips.
Oh yes, yes. Right. I was always under the impression that he was a villain as well.
No. Yeah, well, he starts off kind of against Kenshiro because he's after a man with 7 scars in his chest who killed his parents and kidnapped his sister. But that was actually Kenshiro's brother, Jaggi, who was posing as Kenshiro for his own ends.
Ah, I see. I need to kind of catch up with Fist and the All-Star. I've got it all ready to watch as well. Well, to finish, I should say.
So, who's last on your list, Anthony?
Well, mine's somewhat of a cop-out now, because I've justified that I've not seen it all. But mine is Kenshiro from Fist and the All-Star. And... Well, I mean, you know, you don't get the phrase "you're already dead" from being soft. You know, you can't just throw that around willy nilly. You know, you can kill a guy just by poking him. I mean, if that was linked with Facebook, the world would be dead. All the pokes going around on Facebook. Can you still poke on Facebook?
I think you can, but you know,
I'll have to start poking again. But yeah, Kenshiro. Even if you've never seen Fist and All Star, you'll have been exposed to someone replicating it somewhere, maybe, you know, with the whole that kind of stuff. As you know, Niall did a good impression earlier. Can you do a yeah? Anyone? Oh, that's a good. That was like a sample. Honestly, people's impressions are getting better and better on here. I feel left behind, but no, yeah. And I used to, at school, this is when I was in college, to be honest, I used to sit and doodle. Instead of listening to what my psychology teacher was saying, I would, like, doodle Fist of the North Star kind of battles and stuff. Jesus Christ. I was, like, 17 at the time. God. I shouldn't have probably been doing that. I should have listened. But, yeah, that aside, Kenshiro, he is epic. He is epic. When he gets angry, he's tight leather jacket just shreds to nothing. You know, not even just, he doesn't tear off his body, it's gone. It's like he was never wearing a jacket, and he's got the, obviously, the 7 points in his chest and the the shape of the North Star.
He just flexed too much, you know. He ruins more shirts that way.
He doesn't flex enough. He doesn't flex enough. Yeah, I forgot to mention he's incredibly muscular. I remember I was contemplating cosplaying Kenshiro, and I actually Google searched like Kenshiro cosplay, and there's a dedicated Kenshiro cosplayer on the internet who's uploaded a Kenshiro workout to get your body as close. I'm not even joking. I will link it to get your body as in proportion as Kenshiro's as humanely possible. Which hard to read.
It involved taking loads of growth hormones.
It involved insane workouts that would leave you in shreds. Literally, I'm not even joking. Like it was a completely legit workout, but you would need to quit your day job. Basically, you would need to just concentrate on becoming Kenshiro.
Or you could just do the one that I saw where, you know, there was a dude, he like, and he just put some foam arms over his own ones, so it would appear more muscular.
That wouldn't even be muscular enough. That's the thing. I could double treble up, but it wouldn't be enough. Yeah, Kenshiro is pretty hard. He's got a... Out of my list, I don't know whether he'd be able to beat the others, but... I think Gaiden would probably take him.
He was. Well, to be the whole thing, you know, him against Skogo 13. Like, because both of them are guys, you know, it's not about whether they're going to win, it's how they're going
to
win.
True. Could Kenshiro get up close to Golgo? He'd be like miles away on some like Mad Max buggy somewhere, and Golgo would just ping him.
He probably catch the bullets because.
Ah, true. Kenshiro
can catch arrows out of the air. That was like a Hokuto Shinken technique of catching things out of the air.
That's a tough one.
How would he fare against Pikachu, though?
I would hate to see Pikachu explode.
What type is Kenshiro? Obviously, it'd be a fighting type. Yeah.
It's irrelevant with Pikachu, though, as we've...
To be honest, I'm surprised they haven't had a Pokemon based on him yet, because he is the GOAT. If you ever want to... If you're doing a manga or an anime and you want to show somebody momentarily toughening up and you're briefly, a comedy, yeah. Then yes, you just draw them in the style.
Whack on Kenshiro. 7
yeah.
in the chest.
Or just have them go... Oh. It's getting like this going from like low pitch to high pitch very, very quickly.
And of course, Violence Jack would beat him. He'd give him a serving with a writ for gimmick infringement.
Fear Valentine could probably seduce him.
Oh, no. And Kenshiro only love with one woman.
Yes.
Faithful. True. God, he's got all the out. Who's last on your list, Brian? Can yours your final compete?
Okay, excuse me. Edit all that out. My last on my list is Grizzly from Polar Bear Cafe.
Explain.
Well, because I wanted somebody who just acts like they're hard and thinks being hard is the most important thing in the world. But obviously the joke is that he is a ridiculous man for behaving in this way. A ridiculous bear, even.
Yeah, I was going to say.
The prime example is the episode where he thinks polar bears died. And Polar Bear tells this story about what he thinks Grizzly's off doing. He's sort of gone on the road into the north of Japan, become this bouncer at this bar, sort of befriended the owner, become a parent to her children. And then it turns out at the end that he has actually done all these things just because he thought Polar Bear, one tiny misunderstanding that led him to think Polar Bear had died and he'd gone off on this ridiculously manly mission to the north. And he's always obsessed with doing things extremely quickly, preferably with his claws. There's an episode where they spend the entire half episode sort of trying to get this lawn thing and cut, and they have great difficulty until Polar Bear sort of tricks Grizzly into doing it by making it some sort of challenge on his manliness. And they just run straight over, cuts it all down in like seconds with his claws, and then drives off again.
I've seen the one where they go fishing and he's there. That's pretty good.
Have you seen the one where they have the bear's night out?
Grizzly, no.
Polar Bear and Panda go out on the town.
Is that the one where Panda's not drinking?
No, I think that's...
That, when they first meet, I think.
Yeah, it's when they first meet him. Yeah, and he complains, why are you black and white? Can't you make your mind up? He's generally sort of a ridiculous parody of macho-ness.
But he's pretty tough.
He is tough as well, that's the thing. But it's his obsession with it.
Mm.
But now on the night out, they go to a bath, and he goes in the sauna. And Polar Bear keeps on adjusting the timer, so he's in there ridiculous amounts of time. He keeps on looking up, well, no, I've still got some time left. And then eventually looks up and sees this white paw adjusting the timer.
Fantastic series. Like, when you think about it, like, when I remember different parts of it, it's pretty funny.
It is great. Yeah, and the latest episode had got Polar Bear's rap career was revealed.
When's it going to finish?
I don't know. Not yet. I think they've announced that the October ending theme is done by Panda Mama, because that's one of the gimmicks they have, is that various characters do the ending themes sort of every few weeks. And so Panda's mum is going to do the ending theme soon. Mm. So that's our Hard Men of anime. Was there any ones you want to mention who didn't quite make the list?
Oh, God, the list is endless. Like, I had a lot of women because I felt like I needed... Because we all had at least one woman, I think.
I had originally had a few more, but...
I was going to have... what's her name? I had it written down. Thingy for me, Evangelion. Masato. I was going to have her. Then I thought, Fate Valentine's a little bit better. I was going to have... the other Evangelion woman, the red-haired one.
Asuka.
But I've seen Grace had her. Grace nabbed a killer.
Called Zibzers.
An awesome one to have. She wasn't here to claim it, but I should have nabbed it. I don't know, there's a lot of good... But I think we've got a good list. Our 15 are pretty strong.
Yeah, the other ones I had were... Hang on. I had Balalaika from Black Lagoon. Head of the Russian Mafia in that. Kanaka Clancy from Pat Labor.
Oh, yeah.
That was a last-minute addition. She was almost in my top five, because she's one of my favourite characters of anything better.
Kind of, why is it fun? Half Japanese, half Irish.
I had Lad Russo from Bacano.
Oh,
if you want, the psychotic hard man.
Mm.
I think just the way he ends up, I think, even though he's psychosis, I think, again, losing an arm.
We're onto something here.
But the other guys weren't waving around the stump with blood squirting.
If you want to impress a girl, tear your arm off. That's how you do it. We've established that.
My last two were cats. I had the black cat out of Cheese Sweet Home. He's pretty tough. He like goes where he wants to. He knows which lorries to jump onto when he wants to go back home. Get all across the city without any problems. And of course, Poyo from Poyo Poyo.
Oh, God.
I thought you were going to say that's kind of island cat from Azumanga Daioh, the one that eventually comes to Shikaki's rescue.
Yeah, he's pretty hard.
Mm.
Yeah. No, Poyo, he eats a snake in one episode.
Whoa.
It's a running gag. Well, it's kind of a running gag that they'll see him doing something and then they're like, oh, we don't want to know what he's been doing. In the latest episode, they see him sitting on top of a tree and they go, like, oh, that's cute. Wonder what he's doing up there. And then he catches a bat and eats it.
Jesus.
That's what cats do. That's why.
Was that finished yet, Dad?
No, it's still going.
God, everything's still going that I'm following. I wish it would stop, then I would kind of have some level of... I would have, like, a finish line to aim for, you know, but it's just ongoing forever. God.
It's not going to take you long to catch it with Poyo Poyo.
It wouldn't. I could probably do it
in two hours, I think you can watch the entire thing.
Afternoon. Yeah, and I'm like, I don't know, like 15 episodes through or something, I don't know. Yeah, it wouldn't take long at all.
I haven't got a game, unfortunately.
Oh, Brian!
I'm looking forward to the game.
Okay, you have a game if you like.
Pick one up.
That's okay. I've got an old game we can play. I'm not sure how. Well, it's okay. Okay, it's time for Blankety Blank.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Right. So there's no right answer or wrong answer here, but let's see. A podcast who aren't recording anymore, I nicked this from them as an idea to do on a podcast, which was, what do they call them? Quiet panelologists at work. They used to do this.
Mm.
But they've not put an episode out since February, so let's steal it. Okay. When Tokyo 3 was attacked by an angel, Shinji Ikari had gone missing. A search party was sent out, and they eventually found him blanking alone on a train. Niall, what do you think he was doing?
Tailoring.
Okay. Anthony?
I thought he was dancing.
No, he was listening to his mini disc player.
No.
Have you not watched the show?
I was close with dancing. He was probably dancing inside.
Okay, here we go. Second one. Spike Spiegel was fed up, frustrated, and complaining to Jet. I'm sick and tired of it, Jet. Do you know how many times I've stepped in Ein's blank or blanks? Anthony, you go first on this one.
I don't want to be too vulgar. Ein's blanking blanks, or
no, Ein's blank or blanks. So, single or plural?
Feces.
Okay.
And more feces.
Okay, Niall.
I'm going to say half finished jigsaws and Lego models.
No, it's his dog bowl.
Oh.
Okay, last one. Throughout their career, Batal had always been willing to cover up for the Major because he was a big admirer of her blank or blanks. Niall.
Of her smile and general demeanor.
Anthony.
Her large collection of X-Men comics.
No, it was her breasts.
Oh!
Oh!
Jeez.
I didn't know it was going to be that vulgar.
Right, so that's Blankety Blank.
Oh, what a game. I love the games.
Phew. I'd have used those up now. I have to think of some more.
Oh.
Yeah, that's, for Americans, that's Match Game. So it was... We bought it in the UK and called it Blankety Blank.
I prefer our name for it, I've got to be honest.
Yeah, and we had Terry Wogan and Les Dawson and Lou Savage presenting it.
Probably the best three TV personalities in history.
That's true. I was watching old episodes of Blankety Blank on YouTube.
It's really good. Like, yeah. I rarely watch it, very rarely, but...
yeah, the Les Dawson Les Dawson's complete disregard for the quality of the prizes. Sort of completely sort of deadpanning how terrible the prizes they were giving away. I wish more quiz shows were like that nowadays, where they just give away absolute rubbish rather than big cash prizes, but were more fun.
Or a speedboat.
And didn't have me screaming at the TV that they're idiots. The worst for that is that, what's the one Davina McCall does?
Oh, million pound drop.
Yeah, that's the worst. Yeah.
Some of the questions are so ridiculously obvious, and they'll split. Don't split the money over that one. It's blatantly not bloody... What colour's the ocean? Oh, I don't know. I'm going to have to split. It's ridiculous.
And it's the wrong way around for a quiz. It's not like you want the prizes to be going up as you get further along in the programme. You don't want the last part of the programme to be them fighting over a tiny amount of money.
Yeah, I'll quit while I'm ahead, please, Davina. I'm happy where I am.
Right, okay. Unless I've got something to add in from Grace later on, this is the end of the show. So, Niall, what do you want to plug?
Plug. I will plug my own cartoon podcast, which is Secret of the Sailor Madness. We've just put on an episode. Well, not just put on an episode, but it's a bit which we call now. But our most recent one was on SWAT Cats, the Radical Squadron. Would turn out to be a lot better than I thought it was going to be. And in the next couple of days, we should have one up about Mighty Mitor, another Hanna-Barbera, the 60s superhero. People seem to love the old cartoons and us talking about them, so hope people are looking forward to that one. And that can be found at secretsailormanus.blogspot.com, or you can give us a search on iTunes, leave us a nice review and stuff. Let us know how we're doing. And what else is there? I guess you can find me on Twitter if you want to, as Nicholas Cage. That's NIALLCOLAS_Cage.
Okay, Anthony, anything you want to plug?
AntAskew on Twitter, AntAskew, and AntAskew on Twitch, where if you subscribe, you'll watch me playing games and probably getting very annoyed at them. And you're probably getting very annoyed at me being so rubbish. So go on, watch. It's quite entertaining.
You think
I'm in the mood, if I'm in the mood anyway.
Have you got a PS3?
I have.
Are you thinking of getting that Tokyo Jungle game?
I have seen that, and there's actually a lot of streams. There's a lot of people streaming it.
Yeah, I thought there would be. That seemed to be something which I thought might be stream-worthy. I'm thinking of getting it myself. I will not be streaming it.
Oh, see, I need to get a legit capture card, because at the moment I'm just playing PT games. So if you want to donate a capture card, feel free.
Oh, poor capture cardless Anthony. Right, and you can find me on Twitter at awesome_engine. And I have my own website, which is awesome-engine.com. And you can find this podcast, as always, at dynamiteinthebrain.com. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/dynamiteinthebrain. And you can find us on iTunes. Again, just like with The Secret of the Sailor Madness, why not give us and them nice reviews, subscribe, let your friends know about it. Spread the good word to all those around you.
Be kind. Rewind.
And we'll be back next week with Haibane Renmei.
Oh, it's going to be a big one.
It will be. I've got to watch it.
It's going to be emotional.
It will be. It will be.
I need the DVDs to arrive here as well.
I wonder if Brian's going to hate it. That's my big question. Because I love it. I love it. Now, our other guest loves it as well. So
we shall see. I mean, I remember liking it, but I didn't seem to like it enough to ever want to finish watching it. So we shall see. But that's for next time.
How much did you pay, just out of curiosity?
Let me just check my emails, Amazon.
You've got to be able to get it cheap now. It's only like 3 discs.
It's just got re-released.
Oh, has this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ooh. What was additional, or is this remastered?
One of these license rescues, I think.
Oh, right.
So Haibane Renmei complete box set. I got it for £18.22, including postage.
That's pretty good, considering I'll have paid like £15 a disc, and I've got there's 3 discs, so.
Yeah, that's a Region 1 import.
Mine's must be out of print, is it?
The old UK release is out of print.
See how much I can get for it.
I think it's still going quite cheap, though.
No.
Because I did find that there as well. And it wasn't too expensive. But it was slightly cheaper to import the US.
Strange. But yeah, see you all next week.
Toodaloo.
Better be good.
Ta-ta.
Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.